You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Terrence Houston, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program by the Ecological Society of America, where we interview scientists involved with public policy. Today, I'm interviewing Amber Childress with Colorado State University. Amber is one of this year's Graduate Student Policy Award winners. Could you talk about your research into interactions between biophysical systems and management of natural resources?
Yeah. Although I primarily study ecology, my research actually looks at the interactions and feedbacks between ecological and social systems. I think I became interested in these interactions from my experience growing up on a cotton farm in West Texas and seeing how reliant farming communities are on the environment, but also how much they do heavily impact it. So I'm specifically looking at how people respond to and adapt to environmental change and how their responses impact or change ecosystems. And my PhD research is investigating water management in the South Platte River Basin, which is the watershed where the Denver metro area and northeast Colorado are located. I'm specifically looking at how water providers have adapted to droughts in the past and using that to better understand barriers and opportunities to adapt to future change and reduce vulnerabilities. The project I'm on is actually made up a team of hydrologists, economists, ecologists, and atmospheric scientists, and they're all combining their own models to determine future water availability. Then what I'm doing is helping to determine feasible options for adapting existing management strategies to adjust to varying water availability. And this type of research is actually really important because with future climate and ecosystem changes, resource management strategies that existed in the past may be insufficient to deal with future challenges. Not to get too far off track, but it does highlight the importance of interdisciplinary research, which is one of the reasons that federal support for research is so important. To understand how systems are connected, we need to conduct interdisciplinary research, but because it's non-traditional, often it can be really difficult to find funding for it. I'm fortunate to be funded by both an NSF IGERT as well as a project that is co-funded by NSF and USDA, and it really shows the strength of NSF as well as other agency-based funding sources and a good use of federal dollars.
Please elaborate on your involvement with the Great Plains Climate Assessment and how it connected to the most recent National Climate Assessment prepared by the U.S. Global Change Research Program.
I was a graduate research assistant for the North Central Climate Science Center, which is part of a larger network supported by the Department of Interior. They provide scientific information, tools, and techniques to anticipate, monitor, and adapt to climate change. Through the center, my advisor was leading the effort to draft the Great Plains Climate Assessment Technical Report, which served as a technical and background information for the Great Plains chapter of the National Climate Assessment. I helped write and edit the technical report, which was an effort of over 30 scientists to synthesize and compile the latest research on climate effects and vulnerabilities in the region. From a management and policy perspective, these types of reports are really helpful because they allow researchers to synthesize the latest research and pull out key themes and translate those in a way that is useful for policymakers and resource managers.
Your career path was a bit unique, having been entrenched in the policy realm before subsequently deciding to expand your education in science. What spurred you to pursue a PhD, and how do you think your past experiences in policy have informed your career path?
Yeah, I'm not really like most of my peers here in grad school. I actually really disliked science when I was younger and was more interested in policy, which began when I moved to Washington, D.C. to serve as a page in the U.S. House of Representatives when I was 16. After studying international studies and economics for my bachelor's degree, I moved back to Washington, D.C. to work at a law firm doing international finance. However, I quickly realized that that career path was not for me, but my experiences from growing up on a cotton farm made me interested in environmental issues, particularly those relating to land use and agriculture. I then took a position at the Heinz Center for Science, Economics, and the Environment as a research analyst for the Terrestrial Carbon Group. Our team aimed to inform policy on financial and technical mechanisms for including terrestrial carbon in climate change mitigation by translating science for decision makers working on international climate change policy. while researching what is needed to encourage climate change mitigation and the technology necessary to carry it out, I became increasingly aware that our work, and that of other policy organizations, was pointing out what should be done, but not doing a very good job of telling how to do it. This motivated me to return to graduate school to study ecology so I could combine my policy background with research of biophysical processes, which is where I am now.
During your meetings on Capitol Hill, were there particular aspects of what you said or points you made that seemed to resonate particularly well with policymakers?
I actually thought that one of the most fun parts of the day was trying to figure out how to frame our message and convey it in a way that would resonate with the representatives we were meeting with. We met with so many offices during the day that if something didn't really stick with one office, you could refine your message and see what worked better with the next, and then just sort of repeat it if it worked or cut it if it didn't. My representatives were very receptive and were eager to hear about the research that we were doing locally and how it is either helping create jobs in the area, in my case, or how we were trying to find solutions to water shortages, which is a huge problem in Colorado. It's like they're sort of getting a double win for their investment. It's helping to both support the local economy, but also hopefully help solve some of the region's most pressing problems. And I like to think that these sort of examples provide them with more to bring to the debate when they're looking to provide reasons to support science funding. Some of the other messages that were well received by all of the offices that we visited were the importance of STEM education and research so that we can stay globally competitive, and also the large percentage of federal funding that actually does stay in the states.
Finally, what advice would you give to other young scientists seeking to engage in policy?
I would say don't be afraid to do it. The offices were all receptive and genuinely happy to meet with us. It wasn't nearly as intimidating as I thought it would be. It is also a great way to communicate findings directly to those making policy. As scientists, our findings are written up in journals and may or may not ever be seen by anyone ever again. But engaging with policymakers, whether it's staffers on Capitol Hill or land managers in your study area, it's a way to tell them about your research findings and implications that it has for policy. It's a really good way to make your research more impactful. Relating to what we did on Capitol Hill, staffers there are expected to advise policy and be experts in so many fields that they often are looking for information wherever they can find it. Sometimes the latest scientific research isn't necessarily in a form that's very accessible to them. So when policymakers are looking for facts and guidance, if they can't find it from scientists, they may get it from whoever will give it to them. And this is a way to both inform them on the facts and be able to recommend policy solutions based on those facts. I would also recommend learning how to frame your message in the context of what they want to hear. Policymakers are bombarded with information from all directions, so have a clear message that you want to get across with actionable items.
And that was Amber Childress with Colorado State University. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us next time on The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.